I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards? Buzz, buzz, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Breaking Backwards. I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we have a special guest today, Lauren Scharf, who we've talked about a lot.
Hello, I'm so excited to be on this podcast. I actually will fully admit, and we'll get into this later, but I haven't seen the last episode of the series, so I haven't listened to your podcast yet because I'm like waiting to finish it. But every time you say that I've been mentioned, I feel like the most special girl in the world. I feel like the most popular girl at the dance. So thank you for that.
Yeah, we found that out while we were watching the episode. Lawrence, you've never even finished the finale, but you've seen everything up until then?
It makes no sense. And when I said I would give you a reason, it's kind of a lie because there's no reason that fully justifies it. I started watching Breaking Bad like years and years and years ago, like before its last season mm-hmm. went off the air. And it was just too, it was very stressful for me. I was young, you know, hadn't been exposed to too much of the tragedies of real life and also the anti-hero fun time that you get from shows like this one or like Sopranos or like, I don't know, now I'm watching Succession. So yeah, it stressed me out too much, and I actually stopped right around this episode. Then 2020, quarantine hit, and I was like, this is it. I'm going to finish Breaking Bad. And I was trucking away on all of the episodes, got to the end of season, whatever the last season is, and I have that last episode, Felina. I know quite a bit about it because it's impossible to get away from most spoilers. Uh-huh. But I keep putting it off because I'm kind of like, I feel like there should be, I want to watch this with people. I don't know if you guys would be, I know you already recorded that episode, but I want to watch it with people or I want to live tweet it. You know, I don't know. There's something sickening about when you're a comedian in this day and age, you shouldn't do anything unless you can make content out of it. Mm-hmm. So that is the only episode I have not seen is Felina.
It's a good one. I'd recommend checking it out.
Yeah, so I'm told.
Yeah, people seem to like it a lot. It's got to really close out the season well. This whole series, as it were.
Almost zero backlash. It's okay. It's wonderful. But all right, well, that's... Man, can we spoil it?
Yeah, okay, so here's what I know. It ends with, like, Walt on the pavement somewhere, and the camera's just over him, and it's a question as to, like, you're kind of left being like, he's going to die. That's what I know. I don't know how he gets to that point. Mm-hmm. And then Jesse drives off and he's like screaming out the window. Again, mm-hmm. I don't know how he gets to that point. And that's really all I know.
So wait, you saw Granite State, the episode right before that, where it ends with Walt seeing the Schwartzes on TV and like being like, oh, I'm going to go fuck them up. And then that's when the episode ends. That's the last thing you saw?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. The last episode's so its own thing that, like, it's kind of fine. Like, that, the one, Granite State ends with, like, oh, and he's gonna go off and do some crazy shit. And he does.
And he turns himself in a way. Like, he calls and he's like, yeah. I know where he is. I'm Walter White. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. But this episode isn't about the finale.
No, sir.
This is about Fly. And I wanted to have, this episode's gonna be a little bit different because, Meg, you know this now, there's not really a fucking plot in this episode. to go scene by scene on.
It is truly nuts. And it's so funny, Adam, when you asked me to join you guys and you said which episode we were going to be watching, I was in the middle of texting you my, like, oh my God, I hate that episode. When you were like, don't tell me whether you like it or hate it. And I was like, okay, I will save it.
That's why I wanted to have you on because it's weird own thing for Meg because we're watching it backwards and it's just an episode of people going, man, all this stuff sure happened. And then, I've seen it a gajillion times and I have my own takes, but I knew you had watched it just once. And so I was like, all right, that's something I want to hear about that. Cause I remember I have a lot of friends who've watched the show and they're like, oh, so good. Except for that fucking fly episode.
Yep.
That blows nards. Although I love it and it's a masterpiece, but we'll get into that. Okay. I don't even know where to start because the cold open's just footage of a fly.
And a lullaby, too.
With a lullaby.
I think it's Skylar singing that.
Yeah.
But
well, because it comes up in his monologue later when he talks about that moment.
Oh, right. So
I could hear her on the baby monitor. And he's like, that's the moment I wish I had, like, lived.
Yeah. And then I was, just because I was Googling around on the Breaking Bad wiki when we were watching, and there's an entry for fly this episode and fly symbolism.
I was wondering about that.
Uh-huh. And Meg, do you remember the episode after we talked about it on Mike, but I don't know if you remember it, after Mike dies, so you hadn't met Mike yet, but it was the episode afterwards, and Walt's just sitting in an office and there's a diagram of a fly right behind him.
I think I remember that because they're in like the pest control place office. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And you were like, huh, weird diagram of a fly, they seem to focus on that a lot, weird.
Oh my gosh, that's so, I never even connected those two.
Yeah, boom, Vince, you just know what you're crazy. Doing
Yeah, he really does
thinks about stuff too much.
But yeah, overall, like, Meg, I just kind of want to know, what'd you think about this whole thing?
It just seemed like an episode where they traded off monologues and physical comedy.
Yeah.
And there was a heavy layer of paranoia as well. It's always strange when, like, even a half-hour show decides to do a bottle episode. So to see, like, an hour-long drama just go balls deep into one, that's, you know, that's a little strange. I didn't expect it for this show. I hadn't seen that level of, like, it being compartmentalized before.
Yeah, because they've had bottle episodes, but not quite like this. You've seen the box cutter ones, the biggest example.
Yeah, but they still had like B and C stories, you know? Like, this is only these two. This would be like, this is exactly what they tell you not to do for a stunt for like a spec. They say, don't just try to reinvent the mold. Like, don't do this just because you haven't seen it on the show yet in like TV writing classes and stuff.
Wait, so, and Lauren, so when you were watching it recently and you got to this, what was your reaction? Were you like, the fuck is this shit?
It was one of those things where you're about 15 minutes in and you're like, oh, it's going to be this. This is what it's going to be. And I will say this, even though I already said I hate this episode, the second viewing of it, and this also marks like the first time I've watched an episode of Breaking Bad twice because I think like when I picked up where I left off, I like left off at the end of season 3 and then picked back up in this year at the beginning of season 4. Mm-hmm. This was, yeah, I had never rewatched any of them. So upon rewatching it, you do, it's almost like labor pains where you're like, oh yeah, it was a struggle to get through this the first time. But the second time, when he gets to his kind of drugged days chat that he has with Jesse, I was kind of like, oh, you know what? I kind of like this. Yeah. I like this moment. I like this, what he's talking about. Yeah. Gives you a little bit of hope.
You watch it and you're like, oh yeah, art.
And yeah. I'd be really interested to, I want to like look up this fly symbolism wiki page.
Oh, it's very short.
Because just... I started like concocting my own theories where I was just like, you know what? He's like, there was the turning point for him. And I think the fly, it's almost the same way where, you know, pressure is clearly on for these guys. Mm-hmm. And this fly, it's almost like the way when I have a big project coming up that I just don't want to do because I think I'm going to mess it up, I clean my kitchen, like obsessively clean my kitchen. And then this fly felt like that, felt like some sort of like avoidance thing that he's like, if I can just capture it, I can recapture my humanity. I don't know. No, I gotta read the page.
Yeah, I think that's legit it. Yeah, I don't know. There's so little happens here. You just kind of have to grasp onto stuff the entire time. No Bob Odenkirk this episode. That kind of sucked. But
so yeah, it's like not horny at all this episode.
Yeah, I wasn't horny 1 second in this episode.
It was like ice down there in a bad way.
Yeah, Wait, Lauren, we should ask you this. How hot do you think Bob Odenkirk is?
He looks like a nice dad, but he doesn't do it for me. Fun fact, though, I have been in a room with Bob Odenkirk all of 2 times in my life.
You've what? Sorry.
I have been in a room with him twice in my life. He actually one time did stand up for Top Story back in the old I.O. days.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then I also interviewed to be his wife's assistant, and he was chilling around the office. So,
oh, that's cool.
I didn't get the job, and I was really bummed. But
I'm sorry.
His wife was lovely. He was very kind to me.
Yeah, I've met both of them. I went up to Bob Odenkirk at the I.O. bar in Chicago in 2009, and I was like, I love you. And he was so sweet. And then he introduced me to Naomi, and he also is on Drug History a lot, so I would see him a lot at, like, the premieres and stuff like that. And those are always fun times. He's such a hunk.
Nice.
I've heard good stuff about the wife, and I see good stuff about his upper body.
Yeah, I've never put him in that bubble of my brain, but he's not bad looking. If we're saying which Mr. Show guy would I rather fuck, yes, the answer would be Bob Odenkirk.
That's how I view everything. Yeah, I just base them all off of Bob Odenkirk and say which one would I. It's always Bob Odenkirk.
Mm-hmm. I guess, Meg, do you want to try to go scene by scene in this one?
I don't, like, isn't it just do? All, it's pretty much, it's there's only like 3 scenes, you know?
It's like act 1, physical comedy. Act 2, a little bit of physical comedy, a little bit of monologues. Act 3, it's all monologue, baby.
Except for the end, which is physical comedy.
Oh yeah, in the very end there's some physical comedy. That's where he drags Walt in a chair.
Yeah, and I just think seeing him climbed up on top of the ladder, like trying to swing at stuff, seeing Jesse on top of the ladder on top of 2 tables is a little bit of physical comedy there.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I did laugh.
Yeah, I was just waiting for another disaster because Walt was 99% gone at that point.
Do you think that was Bryan Cranston in that shot where Walt falls off the railing and hits himself?
I was wondering about that edit, how they did that. Yeah.
I think that was a stuntman for sure.
But
for
they,
sure?
It's uninterrupted that was a hard shot.
It almost looked like a dummy.
I know, but they don't cut away. It's an uninterrupted shot. I'm just wondering how they did the edit, you know? So.
I don't know.
It's very easy to make a cut not look like a cut.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, guys,
that.
Lauren's in the business too. So, oh, yeah. In case that wasn't clear.
I went to film school.
Yeah. We went to the same film school.
I went to Columbia College Chicago with an 85% acceptance rate, and I graduated magna cum laude.
I graduated summa cum laude.
Wow.
I don't even know if that's better.
It's a 4.0.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I graduated just laude.
You didn't come loud?
No,
I didn't come laude. I just was laude. Mm. Yeah, this one is... So I watched this on the air, which was fun when it was premiering, and I was like, what is going on here? And then it was going to commercial breaks, and I'd be like, are we going to keep watching this? This is a weird one.
I think I would have jumped ship.
So it's funny. This, obviously, like, I'm on the production part, and they're like, yeah, we ran out of money this season. We had to have a bottle episode. So we just had Walt and Jesse. That was it. This aired the same night as the Lost series finale.
Whoa!
Yeah, I was at a friend's house, or like at a Lost viewing party, and I was like, "I'm missing Breaking Bad tonight because they're on the same night." And then the next day, they were re-airing Breaking Bad. I was like, "Oh, I wonder what I missed." And I was like, "Did they choose this? Because like everyone was going to be watching Lost that night." I don't
know.
That
would be so funny if they had planned that much ahead.
If they're like, "We're just going to burn this one."
Yeah,
but it's also really good in some parts.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I don't know. Shit, we kind of did it. Let's wrap things. I'm just kidding. We have so much longer. We usually talk for an hour, and I was like, how are we going to stretch an hour of this?
Let's just go through the life phases of the fly's trip to the lab.
Yeah, we could he was born in an egg. Or are flies born in an egg?
Probably.
Yeah, there's like an egg, and then they're larvae.
Oh, yeah. All right, so I guess we start there. So larva, it's pretty gross.
And then at some point they're like pupus?
Pupules?
pubic hair?
Yeah, so they start off as larvae, and then they become pubic hair. And then they get an episode of premium television based around them.
That's why Walt was so concerned about contamination.
He's like,
you never know where that fly has been. You know, like a fly lands on your food at a barbecue, and you're kind of like, whatever. But then, like flies literally vomit on anything that they set foot on.
Okay, I've heard this, and is it true? I thought it was they poop. They vomit on everything they set foot on.
They like immediately vomit on anything they land on, in the hopes that they can then eat it.
Wow.
I haven't checked my sources in a while, but I'm pretty sure.
This sounds like one of those things you hear in grammar school, you know, I don't know, like that we just hold on to. I don't know much about flies, but that definitely sounds like, you know how the flies, they puke all over everything and then they poop and then they eat it, you know?
That feels up there with like the, you know, you eat 20 spiders each year while you sleep. Like, remember everyone's talking about that? I don't know if that's true. I doubt it.
No, they can't prove it. But
there are some spiders who count on being eaten during sex. Like the only way I'm going to be able to have sex with this woman spider is if I am getting eaten in the process. So the key thing is to slow her down. Like, it's an evolutionary advantage when they're able to A, present a gift that the spider can have as like an appetizer. And then while they're eating the male spider, that's when he's like, okay, cool. I've gotten some time to get my junk in. Like, that's insane to me. And that's I learned in college. Again, at Columbia College Chicago, acceptance rate 85%. Both Meg and I were able to have louds in our
They didn't teach title, us that but. In communication studies class. They just taught us how to read faces, I guess. I don't know. Guys, don't major in communications. I say that every week, but I want to make sure y'all know it. Yeah, I don't know.
But speaking of stupid people, Walt here.
Yeah, Walt here. He thinks someone's... meth is missing. That's the big thing at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
There's spillage.
And he hasn't slept, and he's a sleepy boy. I think that's very important. That we know how sleepy he is. Yeah.
Does that happen to you guys? Are you guys good sleepers?
No.
It is one of those weird things where people are like, oh, I'm too depressed and anxious to sleep. And I'm like, I sleep because I'm depressed and anxious. Like, the only time I'm enjoying myself is when I'm asleep.
So as someone who's also depressed and anxious, I don't know if there has to be a term for this. I do what's called bobbing, which I hate, which is where I'm really tired. And then I'll lay down and I'm instantly wide awake. And then I'm like, well, I need to do some activity then. And then I'll get up and watch something or read, and I'm instantly super tired. And then I'll lay down, instantly wide awake. And that's just, well, that's a goddamn nightmare. Let me tell you that much.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine, like, it is one of those things, like, sometimes you'll be winding down for the evening, watching TV, and you start to feel tired, and you're like, oh, okay, I have to start, like, my nightly routine of brushing my teeth and, you know, whatever. And you're like, oh, but if I stand up right now and I walk, turn on the light in the bathroom, brush my teeth, I'm going to wake up again. So I don't want to do it.
And this is why I got rid of a lofted bed, Lauren. Because thinking about all that shit, you can't get up.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, lofted beds are for children. And well, I don't mean that as like they seem fun. No, they're fun. And I'm not trying to say that 30-year-olds shouldn't have fun, but we just physically can't anymore.
The apartments in Brooklyn are so small, Lauren.
I know.
All the blogs I read said it was fine, and then everyone I talked to in real life made fun of me.
I'm not making fun of you. I would love to have a lofted bed, but it's like one of those things. So I'm also out of shape right now, and like the other day I was just like, I haven't moved all day. I'm going to just put on my headphones, put on a song, and dance for 4 minutes and 44 seconds. That is how long
that specific
the song
amount
was.
Of time?
And, well, that's just how long the song was. And 4 minutes and 44 seconds was enough to just really put me in pain. Wow. That's bad. That's a bad sign.
Wow. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah. Yeah. Me and Meg are always sharing fitness tips with each other.
Yeah, we work out a bunch. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Meg lately, swims.
You guys do yoga with Adrian?
Huh?
What?
Nothing. Yoga with Adrian, I have not done it. I've not done it, but I've had a million people recommend it to me.
Wait, what's Yoga with Adrian?
It's just like it became super popular in quarantine because she just makes these YouTube, she does yoga videos online, and it caught on like wildfire, and a bunch of people are gung-ho about it, and I for every person that recommends it to me where I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll check it out, then I see someone I don't like post about it. They're like, oh, my Yoga with Adrian class is so great. And I'm like, I'm never doing it because you do it.
I don't know why that's so funny to me.
They just recently reclosed my pool, so I've been surfing a bunch because I'm afraid they're going to close the beaches too. So I've been trying to get a lot of surfs in because I don't know how I'll... But like, when they took away my swimmies and my surfies before, I like just sat on my ass and lifted weights occasionally, and it was sad.
Oh, wait. Yeah, Lauren, we should probably explain this since you haven't listened to the pod. This podcast started off as a Breaking Bad podcast and very quickly turned into a diary of, in real time, what it's like to live through a pandemic.
That's perfect.
Because our episode 5 is like, yeah, see, the coronavirus is in the news.
Yeah. Wait, oh, so did you guys start this podcast before the pandemic hit?
Yeah.
We started in February.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we started.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. So we have five episodes in the can. And then I guess in the sixth one, Adam, you moved back to Iowa. And yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
It was funny because like now we record one and then it'll like come out that week. But before, we would like have like 5 or 6 in the can, and we had like 10 in the can before we even released a single one. And we are really joking about this virus in that early one, and it was released like in April.
Yeah, I remember those days when you like ended emails with just like, it's gonna be weird the rest of the month. I'll see you guys next month, though. Like, let's continue this chat when we can have it in person.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
As though that would ever happen.
Over and over with my dad, he's like, it's going to be weird. Yeah. I will probably open up in a few weeks. And I'm like, I don't know. That carrot is really just on the end of that stick right now.
I was supposed to go to Spain in April. And my sister is a nurse. So, therefore, she is, like, my go-to for like, well, if my sister says it has to be true because she's a nurse. So I was like, Alyssa, do we need to be worried? And she was like, no, it's a big thing in Italy, it's not as big in Spain, we'll be fine. That was it's so funny to think back to. It was never gonna happen.
Meg and I were gonna go to Vegas.
Had hotel rooms all fucking, oh man, how fun was that gonna be? That was gonna be great.
God.
I'm so sorry. I have an alarm that goes off.
It's okay. What's the alarm for?
My birth control.
I knew it. Yeah. I knew it was going to be for a birth control.
Here we go. gonna get some birth control ASMR.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I can hear her not ovulating.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ.
I don't think either Adam and I like those videos on YouTube.
Listen, I don't watch ASMR. I don't seek it out. I do kind of enjoy it.
Really?
It depends on what it is. If I'm watching someone put together a charcuterie plate, I love it. But if I'm watching someone eat, no thank you.
Yeah,
I don't even
like...
I like long fingernails clickety-clacking against stuff.
Am I doing it?
And I think longer, I think.
Yeah, like really long fingernails. It's not doing it for me.
Sorry.
It's okay, you tried. I want to say, when we started this podcast and I knew Fly was coming out, this is exactly what I knew the Fly episode is going to be.
Just not talking about it at all. You know, Adam, you did talk about taking a jaunt over to somewhere early in the episode. I don't know if you still wanted to go do that.
Because I totally forgot about that. You know, let's take a walk into the Panda Dome.
Panda Dome! Panda Dome! Panda Dome! Panda Dome!
What's the Panda Dome?
So the Panda Dome is normally where we... Look, it's the theme song is the guitar lick for Van Halen's Panama, and but it says Panda Dome. And we look up an analytic of some demographic that listens to our show, but we're gonna do it. We're gonna pander to you. So, but I meant to do that earlier on. So all this will be cut out. All right, welcome to the Panda Dome.
Boy, it sure is so temperate
Wait, hold on, really. I'm pretending that this is like 2 minutes in.
Nah, fine. We'll keep it at here. I don't know.
Okay. It's going to be fine.
You don't need to pretend anything.
You guys, I went to Columbia College, Chicago. I can act.
Yeah, thank you. we wanted to pander because this is our first time having a guest. We don't know how it works, so we figured we'd go to the Pander Dome and pander to our guest, Lauren.
Wow.
That's just where we say nice stuff about, like, for our first Pander Dome, we found out we had a listener in Ireland, so we just pandered to the country of Ireland the entire time.
Oh.
And since you're on this episode, you're technically a listener now by hearing the words coming out of my mouth right now.
Yeah.
So you qualify. So first of all, I'd say, guys, if you're not following LL Cool Sharf on all the accounts, you really ought to be.
You should follow LL Cool Sharf because she's got hot content.
Hot content. I made a solid poop joke on my TikTok this morning. Guys, go over.
I guess that's better than a loose poop joke.
Yeah. Slam for Meg.
I know.
Oh, she's the queen.
Mm-hmm.
It's only on poop. Only when it relates to poop. All right. So if we're going to pander to Lauren Sharf, I'll kick it off by saying, you're good at doing backbends, Lauren. That's a thing I know about you.
Oh, I've seen you do hella good backbends, Lauren.
I will say that is something that has also been a bit off since quarantine has hit.
Okay. Well,
stretchy no more.
Take the compliment, Lauren.
But thank you. Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. Women need to just take a compliment.
Lauren, I'd say you're pretty good at taking compliments.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. And
I know, right?
Yeah, you're pretty good at it. I'd say you went to a good college.
Oh, mm-hmm. You mean 85% acceptance rate, Columbia College, Chicago?
But yeah, like a high attrition rate. So if you made it to the end, that is valuable.
I've always. As someone with long, curly hair, I've always been jealous of your hair, which is longer and curlier.
Oh, shucks.
It's very long and very curly.
Yeah, yours is what I strive for.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it is down to the butt. It's down mm-hmm. to the butt now.
This is a thing.
I am thinking of donating a bit of it, but yeah.
This is a Lauren Sharf fact that I think she takes as a compliment. You are very good at burping loudly.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I can't even tell you how many times, like, on these little Google Zoom chats, a burp has come out of me, and people were like, "Oh, was that you, Lauren?" And I'm like, "Yeah, bitch, I'm proud. Bitch, I am proud of my belches." Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I thought I dismissed it.
But it's gonna be okay, Lauren.
Oh, do you have to take more birth control?
She's a really heavy ovulator.
I guess I have to take birth control twice today. I thought I dismissed it, but it's not turning off. Hold on.
All right. Well, this is the Pander Dome that I'm going to edit into the beginning of the episode, and hopefully something will
do. Do we need to edit it? Can't it just... Listen, this one's just off the wall completely. Like,
yeah,
does it really matter?
Really off the rails. Yeah, it doesn't. You're right. All right, I'm going to keep it here, and I'm going to keep me talking about putting it in the beginning of the episode.
I hope you keep me talking you out of changing it, too.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it all. I'm not editing shit this week. All right? This is... You know, sometimes you want cookies, but sometimes you just want to eat the dough. Listeners are getting the dough this week,
this
okay?
This is good, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, all right. Outro music.
Pander Dome! Pander Dome! Pander Dome! Pander Dome!
Lauren, I gotta send you the Pander Dome song is very fun.
I'm hearing it in my head and it does sound real fun.
It was Meg's idea. It was very fun.
Love it.
I just like to throw in Van Halen whenever I can in all facets of life.
We did a sad version when Eddie Van Halen died. It was a bummer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to get him to play the Panama music at half tempo.
That was scary.
Yeah, it is.
You got the feeling.
Got the feeling.
Still.
You know what? For fun because of that little tidbit. I'm going to edit in right here what the song Panama sounds like at half speed for you listeners, because it was terrifying. Back to Breaking Bad.
All right,
back so, to
guys, we gotta eat our vegetables. We gotta talk about this fucking television show some more.
I'll do that thing where I truncate something quickly. Does that sound good?
Sure. Yeah, I love it. Meg truncates better than most elephants.
Thank you. Yeah. So Walt is in the lab and he's clearly a sleepy bee. And it's obvious that he's probably been a sleepy bee for much longer than just one night, because he seems to be super paranoid. And when Jesse comes in after a cook, he's like, hey, it seems like we've got some stuff missing, and he's super fixated on it. And Jesse, who has clearly been stealing the methamphetamine that they cooked together, is like, well, I don't know. It's probably the gunk. And he marches away. And that's when, out of nowhere, a little bee pops up. I'm sorry. It's not a bee. It's a fly.
This episode would have a very different timbre to the whole thing if it was a bee. Because then it'd be scary.
Yeah, shit.
The bees can actually hurt you.
Yeah. And also, are bees gross? Like flies are? I don't think so.
No, I guess not. They're helpful. Yeah. I mean, we like bees.
If he was fine, yeah,
we're not supposed
raisin,
to kill them, right?
Who knows?
I save bees on the ground and in the water. I save them.
I know, me too. Whenever I see one floating in the pool, I'll pull it out. And then when I see one on the sidewalk, I've tried to give them sugar water.
Once I saw you get a bee drunk. This is a true story.
Wait, you saw Lauren Scharf get a bee drunk?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Wait, remind me of this story.
The last time we were at the beach, there was a bee that landed and you tried to...
Oh my gosh, Meryl!
Yeah, she named the bee Meryl Streep and she got her loaded and then it died.
And then Meryl died. Meryl beep.
Meryl beep. But there wasn't a
bee. It was a fly. It wasn't a bee.
It was a fly. Specifically, I'm told, a house fly from this Wikipedia.
It's a big-ass house fly. You know, they say they only live 24 hours, but in reality, they live 1 month. So it was right that they tore apart the lab to kill this fly, because he might have been there for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think that we have the first little slapstick moment where Walt throws a shoe, he falls off a railing.
He bops his noodle.
Oh, bonks his head.
He breaks that lamp, and when he falls off the railing, he falls right onto the broken glass.
Oh, yeah.
Not so good, Walt.
Meg, was this hard to look at all, or was this violence so, like, just kind of like real life that it wasn't hard to look at all?
Nobody's brains got blown out or, you know, insides came out of them. So this wasn't hard. But there was a part of me where I was like, what the fuck, when he fell like that. I think I did. I didn't like seeing that. And I felt like, you know, when you can see someone get hurt and then you kind of like empathetically feel it on your body.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
The violence. I mean, I'm going to air quote it. The violence in this episode makes me feel way more uncomfortable than watching like the throat get cut or anything. Because I'm like, that could happen to me, like, today.
I'd like to think that you are more sensible than to do half the shit this man was doing, right?
I don't know. When you saw me take apart my lofted bed by myself to return it to the IKEA in Brooklyn, wow, I almost broke a lot of bones.
Really?
Yeah. You should really have two people when you do that, listeners.
I wish I could have helped
you. They have that in the instructions. But it's hard in social distance times to find a buddy.
And also, like, my roommate's watching Sons of Anarchy, and he seems to really enjoy it, and I didn't want to bother him.
Yeah, you can't bother him in the classic, like, Sons of Anarchy.
I heard it's really good. I've never made it through episode 3. Anyway, I don't know.
If you don't really like Sweet Hogs, I bet it wouldn't be that fun.
Oh, yeah, I do. I famously do not like Sweet Hogs.
After you guys finish this podcast, you should do Sons of Backwardy.
We thought that'd be good. So, Lauren, we're trying to find another show to do.
I'm still rallying for Sex and the City Backwards.
I think Sex and the City would be fun.
Sex and the City.
Although,
The stakes much lower. Just watching ladies fuck. I mean,
so, my only issue with that is it's not like, is it like an ongoing story? That's why I think so.
Yeah.
I'd rather do like Gossip Girl, but I don't know. We'll figure it out. I would watch Sex and the City. Well, we have to start with the movies.
Do we? Oh, and there's two of them, aren't there?
It's the only movie. It's the only thing of Sex and the City.
You'd have to start with the movie. Interesting.
I watched a lot of Entourage, but I despised it so that it didn't stay in my noodle. So we can also watch Entourage backwards and just make fun of it.
Oh God, I hate Entourage.
I know, it's so awful. God.
Yeah, all I remember is Turtle and E and. Ari is an asshole because he's an agent.
Yeah.
That's it. That's about it.
There
and a lot of titties.
Yeah, there's a lot of titties in that show. And then the main guy's like really forgettable, but he's the movie star.
Yeah, I don't think any of them really went on to have much of a career outside of Jeremy Piven, who already had a career, right? Like, those guys
are dumb. Famously a mean person, right?
Yeah, he's a famously mean Chicago guy, and his family is like a big influential family in the theater community of Chicago, to the point where they have like the Piven Theater and stuff, and it's like a respected component of the Chicago theater scene, which is like storied in itself. But Jeremy Piven, piece of shit. And I hear his other friend, the little Mr. Johnny Cusack, also a big old dickhead. So
Johnny Cusack's a mean man?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I wonder what that means for Joan Cusack.
Are they related?
Yes, they're brother and sister.
I didn't know. I don't know.
No, they're brother and sister.
They're brother and sister. Yeah. Okay. For some reason, I was doubting it. Just anyway, but the guy who plays E, he went on to start directing stuff. He's been directing.
Not good for him.
I was actually an extra in a film that he directed in Colorado.
Oh, in fact. That's pretty cool. Wait, which one was he?
Oh my God. And I could go into more into the story, but I was an extra and I was paired with this guy right before he moved out to LA, and like we hit it off in a friendly way, I think. And he reached out to me before he moved out here to like just get lineup connections that he had in LA, find an apartment, whatever. And that was our last correspondence. And then a couple years later, I found out he murdered his girlfriend and then was the subject of a murder podcast.
Whoa.
Wow.
So I guess I dodged a bullet there.
Hell yeah. Shit.
To live and die in LA, by the way, if you guys ever
want
to
But before that, like, was he getting booked?
Yeah, did he book?
I don't want to spoil it. I won't spoil it because it's a good.
Oh, it's a good.
I will say. I never have to worry about seeing him again.
What's the murder podcast in case people want to know if he got booked or not?
It's called To Live and Die in LA.
So did he die in LA too?
Shrugging.
I mean, why would it call it Live and Die in LA unless he died?
His girlfriend lived and died in LA.
Oh.
But he could have also died just because one person
died. He had a
fiance
the whole time, too. This guy was just a bad guy.
Well, good thing you didn't date him, Lauren, because that would have been real trouble.
I'm really glad, too.
Well, and just because I wish this on everyone, I do hope he booked. I hope he booked and then went to jail.
Here's what I say. There was a car chase.
Oh, wow.
There was a shitty dad who was non-compliant with the cops. And that's all I'll say.
That's all we all have, really. Car chases and bad dads, right?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I know in this world. Okay, so anyways, we are back in the lab, and Jesse comes, and he's like, oh, look, I'm like smoking cigarettes, but there's a cigarette butt with some lipstick on it. That's not for me. And then when he tries to open the lab door, guess what? It's very like a fucking void in there with the wind and such. I don't even know how you'd potentially change the atmospheric pressure in a room, but you know,
I imagine like you wouldn't be able to do it in a regular room, but this is a science lab, industrial level.
It's a room made of science, so there's lots of charts. And you can use those.
If I want to do that with my apartment, what I do is I keep the screen door open while I try to open up my door on the other side, like my main door. And that's hard. And there's a little bit of a breeze that goes through. But I don't think that's the same thing.
Wait, real quick. I know we mentioned how much I hate hogs.
Sweet hogs?
Yeah, I hate sweet... Lauren, I don't know if I hate motorcycles, and I live right next to a motorcycle store. And if you can hear a bunch of motorcycles, that's why...
I hear no motorcycles today.
Oh, they probably don't get picked up by this mic as much as they do this one. Okay.
I haven't been able to hear any of it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. That's all I can
hear. Walt.
Sorry. Do you guys know when a motorcycle arrives at the motorcycle store brand new? It comes in a box.
That makes sense.
I thought that was fun.
Like a big wooden crate? Like a big wooden box?
No, it was like a big cardboard box. And then they took it off and the motorcycle was in plastic.
That's wild.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
I still wanted to knock it over, though.
My dad rides a motorcycle, which is so strange. Like, if you ever met my dad, you would never know that he rides a motorcycle. But he rides
really?
A motorcycle. He used to pick me up from Sunday school on his motorcycle. I'd be, like, waiting out front with my rabbi because he was running late. And then she'd be like, what car do your parents drive? And I'd describe the car, so we're both looking for the red Honda. Nope. There's my dad. Showing up on his Yamaha.
Oh, so it's a lean forward one.
He's got a Cratch Rocket. It's not a hog, it's a rocket.
Yeah, it's not a hog.
I like rockets.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Hogs.
No, thank you.
Don't care for.
Yeah.
But guys, the lab's contaminated, says Walt.
The lab is contaminated. Jesse has not seen this fly, so as far as he's concerned, Walt has just lost it and needs to get some sleep, mm-hmm. which is true, but the fly does exist.
And the next, I think, 10 minutes can be described as just antics ensue.
Yeah.
Jesse tries to cook around Walt's back. Walt hits him on the noodle. There's a fly on Walt's head. Jesse hits him on the noggin. It's very fun.
And Jesse just wants to get to work. And at one point, Walt says, he's like, well, we're late. We should get to work. But then he quickly is just like, wait, what do you think you're doing? We're not cooking. We're taking care of this fly. Mm-hmm. That's what I meant by let's get to work, I guess.
And Jesse points out that, like, I think, what is it? In some food, you can have a certain amount of rat turds.
It was candy bars.
He goes on a long rant. He's like, you know how you eat like bugs whenever you eat a chocolate bar? Mm-hmm. Just, I think, something we kind of brought up earlier in this podcast. We talked about how many bugs you swallow a year. Some of them are in candy bars. And then he talks about how hot dogs are made of pig buttholes. And it's very true, but you love hot dogs. Meth is poison. Mm-hmm. And so it's okay if a little bit of fly scuzz gets in there.
Yeah.
That's true. Also, couldn't you just, like, cook the fly and then cut out the fly part? Because I bet, like, unless it gets melted and then who cares?
Yeah.
We already know there's a certain amount of diarrhea in meth. What is a little bit of flies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, meth is... Well, I don't know. Lauren, I don't know if you know about meth, but we found out, because you know how, like, Walt cooks really good meth? It's like 98% pure or something?
Mm-hmm.
So the other 2% is diarrhea.
Oh! Okay, yeah. That checks out.
So when you see, like, Todd, he's like, oh, it's 70%, which is pretty good. That means it's 30% diarrhea.
30% diarrhea was my nickname in high school.
Really? Wow.
What sport did you play that they gave you? Like, was that a professional? Was that like a Greco-Roman wrestling name?
Choir?
Choir
was my sport.
They needed nicknames in choir?
Choir was it's a full contact sport, Meg.
I've always wondered if there's like a way to make it organic. Like, is there organic meth? And then like, is there paleo meth?
There is organic meth. It's keto called meth. Diarrhea. What do they do?
He goes on that rant and Walt is having none of it. He's having none of it. So finally, I forget if this was, he says, let's get some fresh air.
Yeah.
Walt uses that as a way to get him out of the lab, mm-hmm. closes the door behind him, and says, never come here again.
Unless you gotta help me, get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out. Oh, yeah, there is a fuck in this episode.
Well,
I think they get one fuck a season.
Yeah, and then the fifth season, I think it got a little more lax. I think they have like 3 total throughout both parts.
Yeah,
but
possible.
I think up until then it was one. It's weird now with like FX and AMC. It's like anything goes. This newest season of Fargo, they're throwing fucks around like crazy.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, and I'm like,
I remember the first time I heard shit on TV, and that was a big day.
Yeah, it's.
Remember South Park did that whole shit episode?
I do. I was like, I want to bring that up, but guy in his 30s talking about South Park. But I'm glad you brought it up.
I'm a 33-year-old woman who just remembers that episode.
They said shit 162 times.
A night of a million shits, yeah.
Night of a million shits. Shit, 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 shit. Funny episode, early season. And now they say shit all the time in that show.
True.
Different era.
Yes.
It's crazy. These kids today, they don't know how good they have it.
Yeah.
They got some good shit. Some fucking good ass shit, those cunts.
You can straight up say like fuck without bleeping it. Like, cause when this aired, or when any of the fucks on Breaking Bad aired, like they didn't bleep it, but they just like, it was like, what the? Like they, it was just went dipped quiet.
Dip the audio.
Yeah. Like, I remember the most out of place one was when Mike dies and he's like, just shoot me. Just shut the fuck up and let me die. Cause it was like this really like kind of like glued to the screen moment. And then
yeah.
Audio dips out. But now
it's weird that they even dipped it. It's like,
oh yeah, in the
why like, oh cool, we get to use the F word, but it's still gonna get dipped. Then you don't get to use the F word.
Well, I kind of like it because I think they know, like, listen, 99% of the time people are watching this is on DVD, or maybe if they have some sort of internet platform where these will be available for all someday.
Yeah, this was before Netflix.
Yeah,
BN.
It'll be the Wild West, and we can say whatever the fuck we want.
You guys remember Quixtar?
Yeah.
I love talking about Quixtar.
they tried, for the kids listening, they tried to have Netflix and Quixtar be their own separate things, and I think Netflix was going to be the discs, and Quixtar mm-hmm. was going to be like what we know Netflix to be now.
They never actually did it. They announced it, and for like a month, just everyone was like, don't do this. And then
yeah. They probably saw their stock like tank.
And it's
and then,
like,
but the, and then actually, I think at that time, I was starting to be like, oh, maybe it's not over for Blockbuster. Like, this is so stupid that Blockbuster is going to like beat their like 5-year lead or whatever.
Blockbuster lost. But then, no. Blockbuster lost due to its own hubris. They had a chance to buy Netflix very early on, and they were just like, DVDs by mail. What an inconvenience.
People love coming to our stores and buying our snow caps.
Yeah, snow caps. That's fun. Anyway,
I love snow caps.
Yeah. What? Oh, then Jesse turns the power off, and he buys a bunch of shit.
Yeah, he comes back. He finds a hammer, turns off the power, but he also comes back with goodies from Walgreens.
Yeah,
I was a little like, why didn't he get
fly swatter?
Yeah, why didn't he get any candy bars? Like, I kind of felt like he... I mean,
full
like,
of rat shit.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah, because they are full. I think that would have been a great moment for a callback where, like, they're eating it and they're like, oh, something tastes weird. It's And then they're like, that reminds us, we got to find this fly. But what we don't see that he's brought back, we don't see it until he's like, hey, Walt, how about a cup of coffee?
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think that's where he got that at the Walgreens.
Yeah, well, also,
the,
like...
Gets the NyQuil or whatever.
Yeah, the sleep aids. What is adding a bunch of sleep aid to caffeinated beverage, dude, to your body?
I had that same thought, but it must have been enough to cancel it out, because so, that shit was fast-acting.
If you're used to coffee, like, it does just kind of make you normal. It doesn't really wake you up. And so, like, I take coffee, and then I'll take a nap.
Really, man? I can't even drink. I just sweat, and my heart races, and I can't handle coffee at all. So
yeah, that's why I avoid it. To Adam's point, that's why I avoid it on the weekends, because then on Monday I get a little extra boost from my morning cup, because my body hasn't had it for 3 days or 2 days really.
And I think right at the coffee drugging is when this episode shifts from Looney Tunes to Masterpiece Theater.
Yes.
They both get out. They're like, hey, you working on your logs? The big one act festival's coming up and we got to practice. So they do that. And what's Jesse's first one about? It's just about his aunt.
Yeah, his aunt who had cancer in her noodle, and they got her some medicine, and she didn't hear possums anymore. So they...
Yeah, but the whole thing with that was that he was kind of like alluding to perhaps Walt's cancer spread to her, spread to his brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So Walt, he doesn't take it well, but he doesn't get angry either. He says he just insists he's still in remission. So he's kind of like, I don't like you suggesting that. Like, I'm not crazy. There is this fly, you know.
Yeah, he says it like an old wizard, though. He's like, I'm still in remission, Jesse.
I haven't had a cancer in 10,000 years.
This is about the time in the series when Walt has that wizard talk.
Yeah.
Wizard voice.
This scroll from my doctor says it. Remission.
That's ruled out.
And then we go into a lengthy, like, 20-minute treatise on when's the perfect time to die.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, Meg, I'd say keep an eye out for that moment.
I definitely thought that this was all motivated by some big shit must happen in the episodes right before this, because he's grappling with something here that he's really can't come to terms with. Like, you don't really see him too hung up on anything else going forward. It seems like, you know, he blows up people and it like gives him a big swinging dick. But here, like, there must be some real morose stuff that he was complicit in that has been fucking with his conscience.
Oh, and then, because last week, Meg, you and I talked, we had that flashback, and we just called her Skinny Lady, or whatever her name we call her. We have a name now.
Her name is Jane.
Her name is Jane.
Jane.
Yeah, and...
Which I think that's such a great name for that character, because, like, Jane is such a plain name, but for someone like Kristen Ritter, like, she just embodied, like, but I'm a cool Jane.
Yeah.
So is she related to, like, Jason Ritter? Is it different Ritter? I don't know.
Apparently everyone with the same last name is related all the time.
Well, in this town, you never know.
Yeah, Adam is related to the Schwartzes on Breaking Bad.
Wait, so Lauren, actually, real quick. You haven't seen season 3 of Breaking Bad for like years, right?
Yes. Correct.
So you definitely don't remember it, because the episode after Fly is very forgettable. We talked about it last week, and Jane shows up.
Is that the one where they go to the museum?
They go to the museum, and it's a flashback, and the whole episode's fucking so forgettable. But it's I remember at the time, because it comes after Fly, and you're like, ah, some movement, something's happening.
Yeah.
But that's so that's all Meg's seen of Jane thus far, with her just at the Georgia.
Yeah, it is interesting trying to like get my bearings of like where Meg is at and what she has seen of Walt. It's interesting to see this, to start with Walt on that side of like human. I don't think this is a spoiler, but he wasn't always like this.
What?
Meg has seen the pilot for a class in college, I believe, is the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but a long time. But
like, that's really interesting. Yeah, he wasn't always like this, and it's upon the second watching of second screening of this episode, it is one of those things where it's like you think about that moment, and you're just like, yeah, where did it all go so this? Mm-hmm. How did he, you know, the Walt we see in season one, the whole season... wouldn't do any of this and it's nice that he talks about that moment, and I won't go any further about that moment and that night because stuff, but
two things I want to bring up real quick. I saw like a little bit on like a review that I thought was pretty interesting, that this whole episode is just kind of to show that like he kind of is like, this is kind of his peak. He's just he's the top meth guy ever, and he makes a bajillion dollars a year or whatever. It still wanted to show him as like this weird cagey man who is frustrated and spends 45 minutes trying to kill a fly and looks like a goon doing it. And then the other thing I want to bring up, Meg, because I forgot to bring this up at the beginning, can you share what you put in the group chat like a minute into this episode?
Oh, I just said, did Rian Johnson direct this?
And he did.
And the reason why, the thing that clued me into it was when...
This is why you're the 4.0 and I'm the magna cum laude.
When they had the brush shot where it goes back and forth with Jesse, it just seemed like only something Rian Johnson would do.
Yeah, and then like a minute later, you just directed by Rian Johnson and comes up on the screen. I'm like, yeah, she fucking nailed it.
Because also, he does a lot of those long, uninterrupted shots.
Yeah.
And it just seemed, I don't know, it just had all the trappings of a Rian Johnson, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, and then Daniel Craig showed up with a Cajun accent, and I was
And then I just spent the rest of the day beating off.
Yeah. It's classic Rian Johnson. So he talks about that, and then I think the biggest thing after that is he's like, the perfect night to die was the night Jane died. And he talks about meeting Jane's dad, and I kind of just can't say much, but I would love to hear what Meg thinks about this.
Yeah, Meg, you put a great theory in the chat.
Well, I'll say this. The reason why I think any of this is... So, how do I put it? Everything going forward is speculation based on the fact that Walt never innocently monologues. He's always monologuing to like cover his own tracks. So I think that he's complicit in Jane's death somehow, and it's haunting him. And he like can't really escape it because he's always with Jesse. And maybe it was like one of the times, like, I imagine that it seemed like after everything that Jesse says later, like, we were two junkies with a duffel bag full of cash, we'd both be dead in a week anyway. So it sounds like to me something happened where Jane overdosed, and it doesn't seem like Walt is like sad about the fact that she died. It sounds like he's sad about the timing of all of it, which makes me think that Walt was in a position where somehow he could have interfered and he didn't, and he's dealing with that guilt. So that's just where it just seems like he won't shut the fuck up, and he's kind of like maybe more torn up about this than if he potentially killed anybody else before this, because maybe she was kind of like an innocent bystander that like didn't need to die and he let it happen. But that's just my theory. And also, I will preface this by saying, like, I honestly thought that Andrea's son, Brock, was also Jesse's biological child. So I'm often wrong.
We will put a pin in all of this until a later date. But yeah, it's a good theory. I don't know. Could be true.
Okay, thanks.
Or it could be just blow up in your face.
I know. I was afraid to say it on mic because I was like, I'm going to feel so silly when this is wrong.
The fun is that everyone knows you haven't seen it. So who knows?
Yeah, everyone here knows. Like, my theory at this point, if I had not seen anything up to it, I would not be anywhere nearly as, like, I don't want to finish that sentence.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Nearly as constipated?
This is why I was nervous to have, like, a guest. And Lauren, you're doing a great job, but just because, like, I've seen the show, like, 8 times all the way through, including one, like, last, like, summer. And so, I know when everything happens, and so I can be like, we're not talking about this, and blah, 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 blah. But I was like, oh, if we have someone else on, ooh, it's wild. We don't know what's going to come out.
What I will say is there's definitely a lot of compartmentalizing going on with Walt, just in general.
It seems like that, yeah,
sure. And Meg, you made it a great point. Like, he's with Jesse all the time, and that makes certain things harder to compartmentalize because they come up. So,
yeah, and he apologizes later.
That's the other thing that makes me think he changes his mentality entirely once he's able to apologize. And I don't think he's just feeling sad for Jesse, because we've seen him not give a shit that, like, kids were looped into killing adults, like, just a couple episodes down the road. So it doesn't seem like he just, like, has a lot of compassion. It seems like he is, like, singularly feeling guilty for his role in something, because that seems to be the only way he feels anything. Whereas, like, Jesse is, for all of his faults, pretty empathetic of a person, and he gets mad to imagine that, like, a kid is involved, an 11-year-old kid is involved in a drug operation with Gus and almost gets himself killed because of it. Granted, it was a couple degrees closer, but this seems like it has to hit pretty close to home to Walt to one apologize to Jesse for it. Obviously, I think it's part of something is going on related to this Jane person that's keeping him up at night. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like he was able to sleep once he apologized too, even though I know the drugs were acting. It kept him up while the drugs were acting, you know?
I'll say this, as much as I like the apology and it was comforting to hear it, I don't think he would have said it had he not been.
Nah, yeah, like the drugs.
I don't think it would have come out. So he wasn't able to sleep without it, and he wasn't able to apologize without it. And another thing is, there's like an episode that you will have seen, Meg, where it after like Skyler's gotten a little involved and Walt makes that comment to her of just like, it does get easier. Like, it gets easier to live with yourself.
Oh, yeah, because of...
This is like after she like has the guys go after
is
Ted.
Is that one we've seen?
We've seen Ted get fucked up and he's in the hospital, yeah.
Yeah, and she's like kept up at night with the guilt. And he makes that comment to her saying like, you know, it gets easier. And that's horrifying to hear from your... especially from your husband, when you're like, I don't even know, God knows what he's doing with what things are linked to his job. And then also just like, he's basically saying, hey, this terrible feeling that you have for a good reason, because you did like a terrible thing happen to a person and it was your fault. It'll get easier to deal with that kind of feeling. Like, that's sociopathic.
That's that's interesting. There is his job to her is such a black box, which is, well, cause like, She's just like, he comes home with money. She knows he cooks drugs. And then, like, in the season four finale, when she's like, fuck, you blew people up? Like, she had no idea. Like, there's another version of the show where we don't see any of Walt's goings on, and it's just we follow Skyler around. And you're like, son, he's into... That's like a comedy. I don't know.
No, but that's a pretty severe drama, I think, when your husband is sick and all of a sudden, you know... Because, thinking about it from Skylar's perspective, sometimes Walt just storms in and is like, we're leaving, we're all leaving, grab all the money, we have to go. And then he crawls into the crawl space and starts cracking up laughing. And she's like, what just happened?
Twice.
Absolutely. I would have been like, oh my God, I need to get out. Like, man. That's why it really breaks my heart every time I see people trash Skylar White.
Oh, weird.
She did the best anyone could have done with the hand she was dealt.
Yeah. We are very pro Skylar on this show.
Good. We like we call her Smoking Lady, and we like her a lot. Yeah.
Oh yeah, because I think did they mention her name in the first episode? She's smoking, and they don't mention her name. And I wasn't going to tell Meg her name, so she's Smoking Lady for a while.
That's so funny.
Same with Marie, who was on the phone lady for.
She's always on the goddamn horn.
Yeah, she talks on the phone a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Jesse puts him to bed, and then they wake up, and there's like kind of the one piece of like plot in this episode for like an ongoing arc is just Walt telling Jesse, hey, if you're stealing, like, I'm on to you, and like, dude.
Yeah, and he's like, I wasn't going to say it in there, but it honestly, it's like, even if we didn't know that Jesse was stealing, it is something that's just like, oh, dude, you are reaching for all these reasons beyond just the obvious that's there.
And he's selling it in support groups.
It comes off as excuses. What?
He's science support groups. What a mean thing to do. The next episode's the one where he meets Andrea for the first time, and they and they pork.
Man, everyone who's involved with Jesse dies. I guess that's no good.
That's why he's such a bummer all the time.
Yeah, he's like everyone I've ever gotten close to has died.
And I think that's the episode. There are no under fives. Any actor that has under five lines, we go to their IMDb and we shout out some of their credits because we want to
give. Oh, that's so fun!
We give them the Breaking Backwards bump, and also we want them to come on the show at some point.
Yes, but when we tried to tag some of them, the episodes got taken down, so we can't.
Oh yeah. So there's this one lady who's was a newscaster in Albuquerque, and now she's a newscaster in Boston, and she has a Twitter, and she's been on Breaking Bad.
A bunch.
She doesn't like it when you tag her in the descriptions of your podcast episodes.
Yeah, she takes it down. Wow. So yeah,
so interesting.
Her name's Antoinette Antonio, and she seems great.
And we don't understand what we did wrong, and we're sorry, Antoinette.
Come on the podcast.
We would love to have you on the podcast, Antoinette. Yeah.
I think she thought the podcast was a good idea and then listened to 8 seconds of it. And we were being like, man, isn't coming fun? And she was like, all right, I can't be associated with this.
What kind of person doesn't think coming is fun?
I think maybe she just doesn't like talking about it. She goes, not in company.
My squeaky tween reputation as a lady who doesn't like cum will be tarnished.
Meg, do you want to take a stab at where The Ringer ranked this episode?
I have no fucking clue. I think it's like, for me, it would be like 45.
What's your grade, I guess? Yeah, I guess we should do that first.
I guess this is, to me, like a B or B plus. This one didn't, this wasn't a wild romp for me.
I was very
is B,
unsure.
B plus a bad score for you?
No, B plus is like the baseline.
Yeah.
Okay. But Meg likes self-contained wild romps, and I was like, all right, self-contained, we got that. But I was like, this is either going to be a B minus or just like A plus plus for Meg. Like, she'll love this. It's just dorky men like goobering.
If Gail was in this one, 100% A plus. Like, but
okay. The Ringer, out of all the Breaking Bad episodes, ranked this as number 14.
Are you serious?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. 14, that's up there.
There was, when this came out, it was interesting because, like, I don't know, when, I don't know if you guys are annoying like me, which is when like an episode show you're watching comes out, after it airs, you'll be like, check all the TV review sites that you follow and be like, what grade did they give it?
Yeah, I do like
doing yeah.
that. I don't so, do like, it.
So, like, this came out, and, like, AV Club gave it an A. IGN gave it, like, I don't know, 9 or something. And so all the critics were like, masterpiece. And all, and like, but on online, the audiences were like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And I do, it does hold up better on a rewatch, especially going forward. But I don't know. It's weird.
I feel it's
a strange one.
I feel like it's in, you know, interpretive theater Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like it is outside of what I normally would view a Breaking Bad episode is, to have it kind of be like black box theater off Broadway with just heavy monologues. That's kind of how I view this episode.
Someone had to have done a stage play of this episode somewhere.
Sure.
Totally.
Yeah. And out of context of the show, it's actually probably not very good. But but they did it, and good for them.
I hope they had good stage stunts. Like, I hope they were able to fall onto that big tank that
yeah.
Walt did.
I don't know. I go back and forth on this. I think I like it a lot. I don't know.
I think it's so fun. Like, in the first scene, and also just like reading Meg's reactions, the first scene, it was one of those things where I was like, oh God, I can't believe what I have to watch right now. Like, what I have to watch again. Like, I have to watch him go through all of this again. It was so frustrating the first time. But expectations do sometimes help when you are a little more aware of what you're going into. And so, yeah, my brain had forgotten about the second part of the episode. Mm-hmm. That was that. I like the second part.
Yeah.
Once we got there, I'm just like, oh, you know what? Here's the meat.
Yeah,
you know?
I do remember, yeah, my first rewatch, I was like, oh, okay, season 3 is really good, but you have to get through the fart. And then I got here, and I was like, oh, this isn't just a fart. It's much more. It's a wonderful yeah. turd. Okay. I think that might do it.
Okay, we did it.
We did it. We had our first guest.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you guys so much for having me yeah. on.
Lauren, is all your socials LL Cool Sharf? You've been plugged nonstop on this show, so yeah. if you guys aren't following
yes,
her yet,
LL Cool Sharf. And then here's what, another thing I'll say, because we are still in a pandemic as of today, December 2020. I don't know when you guys are going to post this, but I do sell masks. So if you guys go to Etsy.com/endlessamusement, you can buy a handmade mask from me.
What?
Made with love, handled with gloves.
Wait, what do they look like? sorry.
Like face masks.
Okay,
like,
cool.
I have all sorts of different patterns. I've got holiday patterns
fuck
up
yeah.
right now. A little Christmassy one that looks just like the Starbucks cup. Ooh. Just like it. So
I
you can
that.
Match your Starbucks cup. I have Halloween patterns that are now deeply discounted. And yeah, I've got some other fun little... Check them out.
Fuck
and then
yeah.
LL Cool Sharf. Yeah. If you don't want any to purchase anything, you can get my humor for free.
Yeah. Good job snagging up that username. It's a wonderful username. We're fans.
Thank you.
Thank
you. LL Sharf was taken, so, and my initials are LLS. So I then was just like, well, LL Cool Sharf. Ladies love Cool Sharf. Because I didn't want to do LL Sharf 69, whatever. Like, no.
Well, until next time.
Yes, until next time, y'all.
Oh yeah, we have a send off.
We have a send off.
I forgot you haven't heard our show. We say a mighty fine
right
Heisenberg
after this,
to you.
Right after the, you know what? Like later tonight, I think I'm going to finally watch Felina, and then I'm going to just listen to all of the episodes. Of
all
one
right.
Thing I was thinking of. Sorry, I know we needed to end like 20 minutes ago, but one thing that would be fun to do once this is all over. Is for someone to listen to our podcast backwards, and it's just Meg forgetting stuff.
Breaking backwards forwards?
Yeah, and it's just like a night, because there's a million podcasts of like friends watching Breaking Bad and talking about it, but it's, yeah, she's just like, wow, what a ride. And the next episode, oh, wonder what happens at the premiere.
All
so,
right.
Okay.
Till next time.
A mighty fine Heisenberg
to you.
To you, fair listeners.
Bye.
That was